All right, we're back here once again here on Couch Coach Live. We are back. It has been a little over a month, but we are back here on Couch Coach Live. So we got a special guest in the building. We got our guy, Wild Card Amar. So last time that he came on the show, he was previewing the Kansas City Chiefs as they were preparing for the Super Bowl at the Usher concert. And shout out to our guy, Wild Card Amar, winning another Lombardi. So definitely huge shout out to you. What's going on, Amar?
Man, I can't call it, man. Always a pleasure. Appreciate your couch. What's up with you, Maui?
Chilling. What's up, Super Bowl champ? What's up, Super Bowl champ? Don't even try it, man. Show them how you do it.
Nah, man, we just cooling over here, man. We ain't even trying to celebrate it too much because we trying to get that tree preet. We trying to do something that ain't never been done, dog. We on some history moves right now, dog.
It's crazy, man. I'm talking to people and I'm like, man, Patrick Mahomes is special, bro. I said, it is what it is. And they like, well, if they so good and so special, why they holding? And I was like, why you got, I mean, be happy that you get to see something. Like, it's consistent. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's magic. You figure out a way to win. And it's Super Bowl. Like, if you ain't holding, what's wrong with you?
Hey, man. Hey, end of the day, man, I'm used to it, man. You know, like my man Big Sean say, man, I'm used to completing the mission while they throw shots. GoldenEye. So, right. Hey, man, it happens, bro. So, you know, people gonna always throw shots, but you got to complete the mission, man. Them boys are trying to do something special, man. They trying to do something that ain't never been done before in any come on. Ain't nobody on this planet Earth have heard of a three-time in a row Super Bowl winner. So they trying to do that. So, and when I went to the parade, man, they seem so serious about doing it, bro. They talking it and like they not shying away from it. You know, in sports, you're not supposed to talk about it. You know, you don't want to jinx it. Yeah. Nah, they open up to it. They actually embracing it. They like, yo, let's get it. So yeah. I love the confidence, man. I love it.
What's going on, Mal?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. Just watching all these, you know, just staying in line with some of the stuff that's going on, keeping the movie. You know how it is.
Yeah, you know, like you said, and it's funny, you know, we talk about Mars, you get ready to go into the history books. So we, you know, talk focus tonight. Our focus tonight is going to be free agency. It's some free agency acquisitions that might put a little dent in your plans into New Orleans. So we're gonna be talking about those. Yeah, we got some acquisitions in these last 3 days now since we've now the league new year now. We can now officially these deals are now pen to paper. But I don't know, man. Mar, you have a tough road to New Orleans next year. So we're gonna talk about it though. We're gonna talk about some of these acquisitions tonight. So yeah, so we'll do a pretty much a recap of what has transpired the last 3 days in the world of NFL free agency. We'll talk about Kirk Cousins, your boy Chris Jones, read up. Mal, you got franchise quarterback and Russell Wilson, the two-time Richard Tannenbaum player of the year. So you got him?
From Tuckahoe.
Yeah, Tuckahoe, Virginia. Yes. And what?
Yeah. Hey, don't do me like that, man. Don't do me like that.
No, I mean, you got one now. Nah, I mean, you got one. That's a good thing. And for a fraction of the price.
Hey, yo, I'm a man how Maui's ruined his eyes.
Hey, man.
Hey, that's my homie right there. So, like, I know what he means sometimes when he say certain things.
he's better than Kenny Pickett. And yeah. You get him for what? $1.8 million?
Yeah,
we're talking 1.2.
You can't complain.
Yeah, you
got him for a real bargain, bro.
You got him for a real bargain. You got him for the price of some candy.
Boy.
At this point, pretty that's much, good. or a sweet, more sweet at the Super Bowl. Honestly, right. Shout out to C Mac and him, but So we'll talk about that. And then also we'll talk about some of our sleeper signings, who we liked, and then some teams that we liked as well. So I've got a great show lined up for you. So what we're going to do, we're going to kick that intro. We'll be right back here on Couch Coach Live.
You like that?
And we're back here, and shout out to Big Kirko. We'll talk about him momentarily. So this week,
my cousin.
Yeah. And this week's Couch Coach Live is powered by SeatGeek. Head over to SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code COUCHCOACH to get yourself $20 off your first purchase. So obviously, football season is over. We still also have NCAA basketball action conference tournaments. So if you want to go to the ACC tournament up D.C., $20 off. If you want to go to the A-10 in Brooklyn, you want to go to the Big 12 in Kansas City, wherever you know, conference tournaments galore. And also, we had a tournament next week as well. So if you want to, you know, get some tickets there, just use that promo code COUCHCOACH, get yourself $20 off. So, man, the league new year. And it's funny, you know, I came on your show, Mark, on Monday, and we were talking about some, you know, Commanders moves. We also talked about free agents because we were at a point, and when we discussed it on Monday, we were in the legal tampering phase. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, and even with that, a lot of fluid action happened then, but now even fast forward to what, 3 days later, it's still so much crazy stuff happening that's going on in NFL free agency. So the first thing I wanted to discuss is, I guess, the biggest domino. I think we was always kind of curious about where Kirk Cousins was going to go. But we did find out about Kirk Cousins. So Kirk Cousins signed a four-year, $180 million contract. $100 million of it is guaranteed to the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm going to go with you, Mar, first. What's your thoughts on Kirk Cousins in Atlanta? Big Kirko in Atlanta.
Man, whew. Let's see how he rocked them chains down in the dirty. So we'll see what he do, man. I'll be honest about this, and I've always been a critic of Kirk, but his accuracy and his work ethic has always been there. So this is like the first time we actually seen him injured with the ACL and that little situation that he had. Here's my thing. It's not like Kirk can't get the ball to the ball players. We worry about Kirk when it comes to playoffs. Like, can Kirk get the playoff wins? And like when you know they the defenses is really gonna hamper down on your playmakers, and they say, Kirk, man, we need you to make a couple of these throws that you gotta either get it in the end zone or get it a first down and get this game for us. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but I don't remember a lot of playoff victories in Kirk's bag. So you know, you could talk about the money. Hey, shout out to his agent. He probably got the best agent in all of sports, bro. He's been getting some money for the last 10 years. He's been getting paid. So the contract, you know, and if let's be fair, I think the contract is quite fair for a quarterback in the NFL nowadays, because, you know, it's a lot of incentives on that joint. But I don't know, man. I actually think because of that domino fall, I'm looking at the domino of Justin Fields. I think that if it affects that one more, because that's one less place that you thought Justin Fields would end up at now that he's taken. So, hey, Atlanta went that way. But I think I saw the meme floating around the social media world where they didn't want to pony up that money to get Lamar Jackson, who's 25, 26 years old, but you giving Kirk Cousins off a season-ending injury, 36, 35 years old, that type of money, which really ain't that far from what you would have had to pay Lamar. So, I mean, I don't think they really made the right move if you talk about over the last couple of years when it comes to quarterback. But Kirk's not – he's not terrible. I mean, we've seen what he done with Jettas in that Minnesota offense. So – hey, he'll throw that rock. He will throw that rock. That ain't the issue. We need them dubs in January, and was really the main issue. So if he can do that, then Atlanta made the right decision. If y'all just being, you know, 500 and top of that trash division. Now let's be honest, that division's trash, so it makes you the favorite. So let's. Right. So I mean, you ain't got that much of a roadblock to win that division now. Your biggest roadblock is Baker Mayfield. All right. So let's be honest. So if you can't win that division, then we got other things to really discuss. So I mean, we'll see how it shakes, though.
Sure, sure. Mal, your thoughts on Big Kirko and Alano?
I mean, I agree with everything Mar said, but I don't even think they thinking about playoffs. I think they more thinking about more of winning the division. Because it's a trash division, but I would say it's competitive in their own way. You know what I'm saying? But
you'd be a nice like guy.
Word, I'm gonna be, because they, you know, the one person they won the division, what, they was 9 and something. I think they won like, no, it was, yeah, it was 9 or 10 or something. But bottom line is, it's I think that's one of the reasons they gave it to him, because they was gonna pay him. He's a decent leader. He can get in. He can I think he's a play action type of quarterback. You look at his numbers is really, really good. Actually, really decent. But like you said, I don't even think they think in playoffs. I think they want to be try to get consistent just mm-hmm. to get to the playoffs, win the division. And with a quarterback like that, with their young weapons, and you don't have, it ain't like, and Kirk can tell you, hey man, I'm making this much money, but I used to be on the bench. You know what I mean? I've been there. So I think Atlanta, the Falcons are going to embrace him. I'm sure they wanted Lamar. But I think the reason all that Lamar stuff was between him and the Ravens. And I think the Ravens was like, yeah, don't mess with him. We gonna sign him, but we gonna play this. We gonna play a certain way with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's why the other teams was like, nah, we ain't want him. But anyway, I agree with everything that you said, Mar. But I think they trying to take baby steps. They just want to win the division.
That's fair.
Yeah. I like this move. And as far as I, you know, as far as when Raheem Morris went to the presser and said, hey, my job is to get the quarterback. I know this last mm-hmm. regime didn't get the quarterback. So he got the quarterback. You look at, especially coupled with the talent they already have, you look at, obviously, they just acquired Rondale Moore today. Mm. Then you also Drake London on the other side. And then you look at Kyle Pitts, and you know, hopefully, this offensive, you know, this will be an offense more involved for him compared to, you know, what Arthur Smith did with him last year. Did, you know, Bijan Robinson at the running back. And to me, I just look at his move as, hey, this will put them in the playoffs. This will make them a playoff caliber team. They were almost a team that was positioning for playoffs this year. So right. Now you bring in the quarterback, and then, you know, obviously, if you get in the divisional game, you're going to get a home game. So now the focus is, hey, can we at least make win the division, have a home game,
right,
make it to the divisional round? Can we, you know, can we build off of that? And, you know, obviously with that, you know, and age concern, I mean, obviously it didn't come off the injury last mm-hmm. year. I don't necessarily think it's going to be that much of an issue, because he's really not that. He's not like the mobility guy, like as far as a guy that's going to be, you know, running in and out of the pocket. He pretty much stays in that pocket for what he does, basically. So I don't necessarily think that's going to necessarily be a concern. But Atlanta had to do it. I mean, obviously now, you know, and I think Raheem Morris, and you know, he's a new head. He's a brand new coach. But this is second time around here in Atlanta. So it's like it's to a point where he's going to have to win immediately. I don't think, you know, he's not going to have the longer leash, like you look at the Mike Smiths or the Arthur Smiths of past, or, you know, past coaches with the Atlanta Falcons. So I definitely think this is going to be a situation where he really needs to do something in this first year to make a splash. Mm-hmm. And to your point with, like, and I agree with Mal when he said with the Lamar Jackson thing, I think it was just one of those things where they just kind of wanted to kind of gauge and see who was going to be desperate enough. Because obviously if you would have made a deal with Baltimore, you had to pony up 2 first round picks. And sometimes that's kind of, you know, especially for that type of team, it's going to be, you know, if you look at if they would have did that this year, yeah. Now, you know, you could potentially, you know, they have the 8th pick this year. So just imagine that you could have a, you know, Malik Nabers, another wide receiver added to your fold at 8, or the kid, the Rome kid from Washington, you know, who knows what they could do at 8. I definitely strongly think they're going to probably get a wide receiver at 8, or potentially get, if J.J. McCarthy's still there, potentially, mm-hmm. and make him become like the heir apparent of Kirk Cousins, give him a few years with that. So, But I love the move. I mean, they had to do something. Like you said, I think the whole Justin Fields thing, like we talked about on Monday, it's the musical chairs. And now we're looking at even at Thursday, there's no seats left for them. So that's what makes now the Chicago being the number one overall pick, that makes that so intriguing. Because now it's almost like, because where are you going to, you know, where Justin Fields going to go? Because at this point, there's no way. We even talked about the options on Monday, and even the options that we talked about Monday have went away, because this is before Gardner Minshew got signed to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only really conceivable option that we thought of on Monday. But now I think everybody pretty much has a starting quarterback, or at least going to be drafting a quarterback in this class. So, I mean, you can think about all the ones who really need a quarterback now is obviously Washington, New England, but you would assume 2 and 3, they're going to get a quarterback at that position. But everybody else is pretty much has their quarterback, or at least a starting quarterback on their team, you know, as far as that's concerned. So,
yeah. Good point.
And
it's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. Also think when Kirk Cousins went to the Vikings, they was already loaded. And I think, what it was, about 2 or 3 years, they started snipping some of the veteran players and getting rid of them. And I remember we were saying, well, they were already 113 games. There was only one game from, like, a field goal away to, like, you know what I'm saying, actually being more successful. And then they started chipping away. They got a new – didn't they get a new coach?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They got a new coach. And then they got rid of their running back and somebody else. And then we were like, why would they do that? They already were successful. And it's like they were starting to chip away, and, like, they wanted to start getting – I'm talking about the Vikings. Like, they wanted to start getting younger. So, like, and I'm thinking they already have a core and foundation here. This is the same thing in Atlanta, where he could just go in with this new coach and they could just light it up, because it is a weak, again, it is a weak division. But I do think, I will say the Bucs, I'm not going to disrespect them. I think they do have something, you know what I mean? But I won't say I would put so much on it, though.
Yeah, and they'd be competitive. It'd probably be a two-team race, because Carolina, I think they still got some growing pains with that's concerned there. And then New Orleans there, I mean, they pretty much salary cap hell. They still somewhat have some semblance and, you know, do some things. But, I mean, you know, you see what Derek Carr can do potentially in New Orleans. But, I mean, it's pretty much bad. That division is pretty much bad for the most part. You really, it's a two-team race, honestly, because, you know, because Carolina got some growing pains. I do like growing, you know, pains.
Couch, you being nice. They ain't got growing pains. They got a poor management pain, bro. I don't know what the hell they doing in that front office, from Tepper, the owner, all the way down to the GM. I don't know what the hell they doing. So they got a whole
situation. I think the Broncos is exactly the same.
Yeah, but at least with Carolina, they got a quarterback. That's the thing. That's one thing that they got. That's that's the only thing. And then now, obviously, I'm curious now with the move of them getting Deontay Johnson coming from Pittsburgh.
Right.
Will he help that wide receiver core? And then you think, will they grow?
No. They don't do nothing.
No.
Can he play left guard? Can he play
He can wash some dishes.
But he can. Yeah, I'm curious how he will play out in Carolina now. You know, coming from Pittsburgh, so it's gonna be interesting of how that's all gonna play out in Carolina for sure. But I don't see nothing, you know, anything positive in a sense coming from them in 2024.
Mm.
But, you know, so we got to talk about Russell Wilson, the former Denver Bronco quarterback and the Richard Town Dispatch 2-time player of the year. So what? I mean, he is, though. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, put some respect on our guy name, man. It's only been two guys. It's only two guys that ever had that beat. And one guy just got it this year. Shout out to our guy, Christian Martin. But, yeah, man, that's a big deal, man. I'm telling you, around here, if you're the Richard Sanders Batch Player of the Year two years in a row, That's legendary. Real talk. So Russell Wilson was signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was a 1 year, $1.2 million deal. The Denver Broncos, I think they owe him $38 million. Okay, yeah. Okay.
85 it's, over the next 2 years.
85, but yeah, next
they,
year.
Oh, they got to pay him $85 million.
That's crazy. Yeah, yeah.
Somebody getting fired.
They it's should. Somebody they getting should. Fired. They should.
Yes, yeah. If it's up to me, it would be Sean Payton.
Oh yeah,
because like it's something where he already knew
right.
that this is what he was inheriting. Like right. I don't ever understand why these coaches get hired, but then want to get rid of a then the coach want to get rid of a guy. Like
all that stuff is karma too, man.
That's the reason why I want you to be here so you can help this person. Be better, and right. so I won't have to eat $85 million off our cap for the $85 million. It's an $85 million cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Over the next 2 years.
Yeah, over the next 2 years, and that's just it's crazy. So Russell Wilson signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You guys, we'll go around the horn. Mark, your thoughts first on Russell Wilson signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. What you got?
Man, Denver's stupid, bro. And here's the thing. I think we all can agree that Russell kind of had a little bit of a fall off from what we typically are used to. He's older. He's mid-30s. But we ain't talking about like a fall off the cliff, fall off with a dude can't play no football, dog. You know what I'm saying? So Denver, and my thing is, I'm looking at Sean Payton like, how really good of a coach are you really are if you can't do nothing with a former – Super Bowl winning quarterback who's been a multi-time Pro Bowler. I mean, the dude, he ain't no slouch. He ain't elite, but he ain't no scrub. Like, what are we talking about? Like, if we got Kirk Cousins getting $100 million guaranteed, Russell in that same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Russell yeah. in that same boat. We ain't acting like Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson are not in the same boat. They in the same hemisphere, if you ask me. Right. But hey, that's on Denver. We don't know what the hell they doing in that damn city. I know it's Mile High City and they legalize cannabis, but damn, you ain't supposed to always partake in everything that's legal. So let's just be honest, because it's not making the decisions real smart over there. So shame on them. But what I will say about this with Pittsburgh, it gives them a chance to be competitive for at least this 1 year. Makes them it actually gives Kenny Pickett a chance to learn. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That man was sitting with Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph. What exactly are you supposed to learn from them two jokers? Just help me out. So he gets to be around somebody that's been around the game and won. He ain't a lot of people walking around in the NFL right now that has a Super Bowl trophy and say that they won one. So Russell has that. He's been to two Super Bowls. He knows what it takes to be at the pinnacle of the NFL world. So Kenny gets a chance to learn something. So I actually think it works out for Pittsburgh. I don't know how much it's going to work out for Arthur Smith, but Arthur Smith should just, let Russell cook, man. I'm not too fond of Arthur Smith. I don't know why he hired him as OC, but I will say this. Arthur Smith runs a good play action offense, and that's Russell's alley is play action. So that works well in that aspect. So I actually think Pittsburgh made out well. And you paying this dude peanuts for 1 year?
Yeah,
I actually think it works out well for Pittsburgh. It makes Denver look stupid as hell, but it works out great for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, absolutely. Mal, your thoughts?
So for me, man, I feel like we got him cheap, of course, and I think Russell still got a lot in there. I think ever since Sierra was talking to Roger Goodell when he was with the Seahawks, he's been trying to find himself. And he went to Denver. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's hard to play in Colorado because of the altitude. You know what I mean? So now he's not going to have to deal with that. He's also going to deal with great culture. Like, the fans is really going to try to support him if he just give effort. Not doing all that, you know, snooty stuff. He could do that if he want to, but it's going to be a problem. You know what I mean? They're going to let him know how they really feel. They also, I think that they really didn't give Kenny Pickett, well, a lot of the quarterbacks since Ben Roethlisberger had played, they didn't give them a chance. It's a lot of quarterbacks that they drafted because they thought he was going to retire, and he didn't. And they did. And to me, when you know you're about to leave, you should already have your quarterback there so you can pass the baton. And like, yeah, Mason Rudolph. That's why Mason Rudolph did well towards the end of the season. You know what I mean? Because he was under Ben, and Ben got hurt. He was able to start some. I ain't gonna say Pickett is trash. I just feel like you just brung him in there and just thought that he was going to be this overwhelming quarterback. When you got Burrows, you got Watson. Well, I shouldn't even say Watson. I'm gonna say Flacco. Shot fired. And you got Lamar. And when Lamar is healthy, the Ravens is winning the division regardless, ever since he's been there, you know? And I don't think they gave him a chance. Now, I'm happy they got rid of Johnson. It's Deontay Johnson, right?
Yeah.
That's his name. Yeah. I'm happy they got rid of him. I think he's decent, but I think they paid him at one time. I think that I didn't like how he would catch the ball and he would always run backwards, then run forward. I didn't like, and he dropped the ball a lot. He tried to wear gloves and not wear gloves. I'm happy he's gone. And now we have these options where they've been trying to figure out who's going to be number one. You got Najee, you got Warren, you got Pickens. And Pickens is number one. And they was not really throwing him, and it was bothering me. Because I said, if they do not give this boy his numbers, he's going to leave, and he's going to play with your team. He's going to mess around and play with the Chiefs, and they're going to see this superhero. You know what I mean? He's going to be cheap for y'all. I'm like, oh, he done got a Super Bowl. He done got all these catches and touchdowns. He's phenomenal. So I'm happy that they got Russ, and I hope Russ, with this new OC, I'm hoping, man, that they use their weapons, because me, the number one player on there is Warren. I think Warren running the ball, catching the ball, it should run through him. I think everything will open up. Everybody say Harris, but I think it should be Warren. But I'm happy he's there. He's cheap. I have nothing negative to say. I can't, because you got him for, you got Russell Wilson for over $1 million. You can't, what are you supposed to say? I can't believe that the Commanders didn't get him.
Oh,
don't do that, coach, because it was two, three years ago. Wanted him.
Well, because of our offense, because we had Cliff Kingsbury, so he's not, he don't fit his type of quarterback.
I'm hoping Russ is there, because when I heard Watt says that he's never won a playoff game, that threw me off. I said, what? So I'm hope Russ get us in there and get us in there deep.
Yeah, huge shout out. Yeah, give a huge shout out to that guy. Shout out to that guy, Cool, checking us out.
What up, Cool?
Russ might be sampling the Colorado goodness. Shout out to that guy, Cool.
What was the ex Miami coach that was suing the NFL?
Flores,
yeah.
So I'm gonna be honest with you. Flores was speaking on being interviewed by the Broncos and how they seemed like they were intoxicated and blah blah blah. So we could sit there and blame Russ, but it's most likely something. You could clearly know something's going on with the organization.
Yeah. No, trust me. Yeah. No, they're fundamentally flawed from the top down. They just got bought out from the people at Walmart a year
ago. Right. Right. I remember that.
That shows you
Walton family.
The Walton family. That shows you how dysfunctional they were. And I guess the Walton family was like, man, we got this Walmart money, man. We'll eat this $85 million just to keep punk ass Sean Payton happy. But I don't get that. I don't know why you want to keep Sean Payton happy. I mean, he's starting to look overrated as a coach, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same one where everybody got in trouble for what was it?
Bountygate.
Bountygate.
Oh yeah, that's the same one. But you know, he had the audacity to call out Russ in the media all the time, like he's some bum. Like, come on, bro, stop. Get yourself together.
Yeah, and it's always a red flag when you have a team that's willing to eat that amount of cap space. Most, you know, most time they just let it ride. But but this Pittsburgh situation, I mean, you can't. It's one of those things where it's nothing bad, nothing to say about this, because you look at it from the standpoint, this keeps you relevant in the AFC North. Mm-hmm. I mean, like we talked about it, we're looking at now with Baltimore with Lamar, now with Derrick Henry, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Then you look at, you know, obviously Cincinnati, Joe Burrow coming back. So you look at that, and then that's concerned. And then also you look at Cleveland now with, you hopefully, you know, Deshaun Watson to kind of get itself back together. But we always know that that team is going to be there defensively. So, you know, regardless of kind of the play of Deshaun Watson, I think Cleveland still be in it. But this is where you bring in a leadership guy, where you bring in a guy that when quiet is kept, he did pretty good last year. I know they started off to a slow start, but he beat some playoff teams. Yeah. He beat your, you know, he beat Kansas City. He beat Kansas City. He beat Buffalo at Buffalo on Monday Night Football. He's won games against playoff caliber teams last season. Hence why we're here, in a sense, where, and we talked about it when, you know, when the news broke last year that they were planning to release him because of his unwillingness to restructure his deal, which, you know, like we talked about it, it just didn't make sense for him, for them to even talk to him after having arguably their biggest win since they won the Super Bowl, you know, going and beating the Kansas City Chiefs. And they want him to restructure right after that, like 2 days after they done won that football game. They want him to come back and, you know, and restructure his deal. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, why you didn't do this when I was like, they was like 1-5 or 1-6. Like, that would have been the perfect time to be like, okay, well, we struggling a little bit. All right, we can get this stuff together. But now when I'm rolling, when we were still playing meaningful football, you want to, you know, pull this on me. But you bring that with that. When I think, and I'm not saying like Denver and Pittsburgh, as far as personnel, has a semblance, but obviously he goes to a better situation. Obviously, you look at his better pieces, especially now when you get a guy, or you have a guy like a Kenny Pickens there, as far as you get that, Najee Harris. You got some talent there. So you look at what he can do in Denver, and I definitely think he will be a guy that will definitely help that logjam in the AFC North. So, you know, it's another one where it's going to be a crapshoot in there as well. So, a huge shout out to our guy Anthony Price checking us out. So, do Pittsburgh draft a quarterback in this draft?
No.
I say no. Mm-hmm. I think you still use Kenny Pickett as understudy. And I think that's where I like, I don't know if you said it, Mar, or whoever, as far as Russell Wilson being that guy that's going to help him mold. And also, and I forgot to kind of check you, Mar, because here on Couch Coach Live, there's no Mitchell Joe Montana.
Yes, there is.
That's my nephew. That's my nephew from the University of North Carolina. So the Mitchell Trubisky slander around here is not tolerated. So shout out to my little nephew. He doing his thing. He'll be the backup to Josh Allen in Buffalo. He back home where he needs
to be. Oh, back so up. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Let me come back, man. I'll make wings.
My little nephew.
Well, I'm going to rebuttal real quick. Yeah. I think it's just, I think Kenny Pickett is not bad. You know what I mean? It's just that they kind of like, we're going to give you this offense. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And it did not help anybody.
That's true.
It did not help the running backs. Najee had horrible years. It didn't help the receivers. It didn't help anybody. You know what I mean? And like, you got a new OC in there, so he could sit back and he could say, okay.
That's pretty trash, dog.
And Russ is not going to be the Denver Russ, because we sitting here. He is a VA boy, but you got the Tomlin is there, so I'm sure Tomlin will say, hey man, you gotta teach. You know what I mean? Because Russ, you know, Cousins and Russ need to start thinking about what we're gonna do after football anyway. Mm-hmm. What we gonna, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, damn, y'all been in for a minute. I said 2012. Both of them. I was like, well, damn. You know, y'all been in for a minute. No wonder y'all getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Same draft class. Yep. And it's funny that Russell Wilson, third round pick, and then Kurt was a fourth round pick. So, and you know, it's crazy to think all the guys, because Ryan Tannehill has a guy. Did he sign with anybody?
No.
I don't think he signed with nobody. So you look at that class of 2012, it's like they really pretty much it, you know, between the three of them, because everybody's gone from that. From that class, essentially, but yeah, and yeah, I definitely it's gonna be a great move for Pittsburgh, and now, like I said, it'll make them extremely competitive because they was already a playoff team. Right. Now you add to a guy with that type of experience, and you have a coach that respects him. Right. So just imagine when he's in an environment where he's respected. Mm-hmm. Look at how you know this whole how the role of him being disrespected. So you know. I think he'll thrive in this, and you know, and that's another thing where the crazy thing about Russell Wilson, he quiet as kept. We could be sitting here this time next year, he could be getting another $100 million deal next year.
Mm.
Because I guarantee you, if Pittsburgh can at least if they can move past the wild card round and they're playing a divisional playoff game, somebody gonna pay him.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I think even if Pittsburgh made the playoffs.
They might mess
somebody up. Gonna pay him.
Yeah,
there's gonna be a team like Atlanta next year that's gonna be that think they're a quarterback away. And so, trust me, this ain't the last train. Like this is the ultimate bet on myself, where he could be making some money. He could be making some money next year, for sure.
And I'm trying to take what team is it? Hey. Like what team? Like
hey,
what the Vikings?
I
don't know. That's the thing. It's to be determined.
Hey, couch and still almost get about 55 from Denver still that they still low on.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how like everybody. I know people's like, oh, I feel bad for Russ. Oh, don't feel bad for Russ. Russ is going to be fine. Hey, trust me. It's one out of 32.
He's going to be counting ducats for the next couple of years. Like it ain't nothing, dog.
Trust me.
So truth be told, that means we both need to be given a standing ovation to the last two 2012 players, because they really hustled the game. If you really pay attention to it, they really did. So like a lot of these, I think an example, a lot of these quarterbacks and players should be looking at them like, because if you pay attention, Russell Wilson is the type of guy that people was calling him a simp and corny. Mm-hmm. He can't be that much of a simp and corny. You know what I mean?
Call him rich too.
Right. And then you look at Kirk Cousins, a cool guy and blah, blah, blah. And he just played. He hustled,
Yeah. And most of that's more so like that off field persona in a sense,
right?
But yeah, but as long as you know how to throw the football and know how to manage your offense, you will get paid. That's the thing with and just this day and age, man. It's just we all know when it comes to you got to have a quarterback if you want to be successful.
Right.
You got to have a quarterback. And at this point, quarterbacks are at such a premium where even a guy like Kirk Cousins, I would say maybe like top 15 quarterback in the NFL.
That's right.
He will command that kind of money. So he's on that teetering on that average. He's if average is 5, he's 5.2, like in that scale. So, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing where, and you look at that quarterback, right? And you look at that quarterback play. You look at how they had a terrible situation where they were going back and forth with Desmond Ridder, that's now in Arizona,
right?
And Taylor Heineke as well. So it's kind of one of those where you're going to get
both in Arizona
more production. No. Heineke
still in Atlanta? Is Heineke still in Atlanta?
I think he's still in Atlanta. I think he's still on the depth chart. But yeah, because Desmond Ridder got traded to Arizona today,
right?
For Rondale Moore. So yeah. So I think it's funny. We're talking about I think arguably we talked about some moves, but I think probably ultimately the biggest move is got to be this Chris Jones resigning. I mean,
thank you, Jesus.
Woof. And we all knew, and we talked about this even when he was out there game one against Detroit in opening week, like, hey, they're going to have to sign him, immediately. So Chris Jones read up for another 5 year, $158 million and $95 million guaranteed. So, Mar, I know you by far the happiest person on the panel. Your thoughts on your boy Chris Jones staying in KC?
Hey, man, I was thanking Jesus. I hoot and hollered. I ran ahead and ran track like I was part of the track meet at the Baptist church because I was so, so happy. No, literally. In all sense, man, Chris Jones is one of the you don't have him on this Chiefs team, they don't win these three Super Bowls in the last 5 years. I'm just being honest. Because he's made some plays individually that has kind of, you know, changed the momentum of football games. But he's a big corner piece of that defense. And especially this year with the defense pretty much leading the team, which I thought I'd never say with Patrick Mahomes as quarterback. The defense led that Chiefs team this past year. And he was a big part of that. Look at some of those plays he made in the Super Bowl that made Brock Purdy throw the ball earlier. Right. Then he had to, and literally had dudes open for touchdowns. Literally. Right. So, look, I get it. We love linebackers, cornerbacks, safeties, and all that stuff. Hey, man, but game of football is one in the trenches, man. And it's the type of dude you want on your team in your trenches to go after the quarterback. Trust me, I'm glad he's on this on my squad and instead of going against him. I would have hated to see him in another uniform being a roadblock of taking my team away from winning another Super Bowl. Chris Jones is a roadblock, literally. Physically, literally. I'm talking about dude will wreck your offensive game plan in a heartbeat. And you got him at 29 years old on this five-year deal. So you're going to get the last few years of his prime. He cashed out. It worked in favor of both parties, the team and him. So thank goodness it got done because, whew, I would not have I love Patrick Mahomes, but I don't know if he got it. I don't know if our offensive line would have been good enough to block that dude. I mean, that's the kind of – we're talking about Chris Jones and Aaron Donald as in pretty much separated as the best D tackles in all of football. I mean, so, you know, I know Quinn Williams is good. I know Jeffrey Simmons is pretty good. There's a couple other D tackles that are pretty good. But there's a separation between Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, and the rest of the D tackles in the league. So, yeah, you keep guys on that. You keep guys like that on your roster. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Right.
Thanks. Now, your thoughts.
Yeah, because Chris Jones is one of those Chiefs players that you can't say, oh, he be holding. Nah, he be doing his thing. He be doing his thing. You can't say that, but he is above Donald. I'm going to say this. I want to say kudos to him. It's how he did it. Mm-hmm. He said he wanted this. They didn't want to do it. He set out that one game. And then they lost. That was the first time they lost their first game, right?
Yep. In a minute.
So, so then what do you do? I think both of them spoke. I just think, you know, I think organizations, and when you have a player like that, because most of the time organizations are not going to sign him. They're going to say, you need to go to some other team and let them rebuild. And we just going to get somebody young and pay them cheap. But when you're trying to build a dynasty, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And you're trying to do something special in the regulars, you're going to have to spend a little money, man.
Got to.
You know what I mean? And then you're like, okay, I'm going to pay you this, but I need for you to do this. That's why you have incentives and things of that nature. So kudos to him. Like Russell Wilson, like Kirk Cousins, he came back and played all year. And y'all had a rocky year. But when it came to the playoffs, y'all did what y'all was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if also this, if you really pay attention to the league is a lot of young quarterbacks, young, pretty boy quarterbacks in this league. And they all some lot of them trying to be prototypes of Patrick Mahomes. And so I would definitely would have extended with him because a lot of them are not Tom Brady and them gone. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It ain't too many more of them. So yeah, he's going to be a top dude for a long time. But yeah, man, I'm happy for him. I like how he did it too, but everybody can't do it that way. You know what I mean? Everybody can't do it like that. But that's real cool that he was able to do it and get out there and help. Because they definitely need, like, I remember when Le'Veon Bell was going through the same thing and he was out. And that might have been the year that we actually probably would have beat the Patriots in the playoffs and might have won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat out. And with the thing about him sitting out, he was coming back, but you had players in the news saying how they felt about the situation, breaking those rules, and he didn't come back. And like now he's saying he wish he would have done it. You know what I mean? Because his career wasn't the same after that.
Yep.
Congratulations, bro.
Yeah, this was a must. I mean, Kansas City had to do this because if this didn't happen, this would have been the lead off as far as because he would have been signed
immediately.
Adam Schefter would have tweeted at 11:59 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 20 seconds before the legal tampering to announce where he was going to go. And we talked about this, you know, at the when the Chiefs played the 49ers at the Usher concert, aka the Super Bowl, so many plays that we talked about in the recap of the Super Bowl of how he may not necessarily been as far as it was something he had something to do with the play breaking down for Brock Purdy. Like I think it was one of the possessions where they were in the goal line.
Yeah, and he was
wide open. He was wide open, but you see where Chris Jones coming. And it's like it kind of made him kind of throw the football early, and it was a lot of plays that we've seen even before the Super Bowl, but just throughout this whole run where his pressure alone makes that play stop. And I think that's where you know, if he was to ever sell himself to get this kind of money, he can run so many types of tapes. He can have almost a damn demo reel of how he breaks up plays and how disruptive he is in passing lanes. So, and then also kudos to Patrick Mahomes for restructuring his contract that freed up nearly $22 million. So obviously you guys were able to get keep Snead. So that's another one where you look at that and this is like just shows you kind of the seriousness of this team to, you know, especially have a guy like Patrick Mahomes unselfish. And to you know do that because that was one thing too prior, even though we knew this was going to happen before the Super Bowl, but it's kind of one of the things when you thought about going into a few weeks prior to Super Bowl, like, okay, how they could be able to afford Chris Jones, how they were able to, you know, kind of keep some of the guys, and then, you know, would they get a wide receiver one potentially either in free agency or in the draft? So, yeah, Chris Jones, yeah, it was a must. He was the number one guy. I mean, you know, I think we, you know, obviously, since he resigned, Kirk Cousins was like the number one quarterback. But then we knew if Chris Jones hit the market, he would have been number one. And like you said, it would have been some team would have been charged for tampering because we would have found out at 11 o'clock an hour before. The legal portion happened on Monday. We would have knew first thing Monday morning because whoever had that card for him, they would have revealed it instantaneously. They wouldn't even care about the repercussions because he's kind of one of those guys where it's like, I really, you know, if he comes to our facility, the golden rule, if Chris Jones comes to our facility, he's not leaving this building without a signed contract.
Excellent.
It's like that. So it's kudos to you guys, and you know it had to be done.
Had to
a must.
So especially when you're dealing with somebody that wants to be there, like Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, like Andy. You know what I'm saying? Like they want to be. He wants to be there. You know what I mean? Like Tyree. I don't think he'll wanted to be there.
Nah. He wanted the money.
I mean,
he got it. You just got to deal with not winning Super Bowls. That's, I mean.
he did his choice. Oh, yeah. Shout to him. Hey, get your money. Get your money.
Hey, get your bread. Yeah, I ain't mad at it.
Get your bread. Because they even, you know, they just get anybody at this point for your role. So, you know what I'm saying? But, so obviously, there was so many moves in these last 3 days, you know, because we could be here all day as far as talking about signings and what have you. So I'm going to go around the horn. Any sleeper free agent moves that you like, and doesn't necessarily have to be a single one. There's a few that you liked. What you got, Mar? What you got?
I actually like C.J. Gardner-Johnson going back to Philly. I've always liked him as a safety. Very versatile. He could play a nickel corner for some instances, as well as play a safety as well. I love his arrogance and his attitude. People mistake it for cockiness, whatever. I love it. That dude's confident in himself and his abilities, and I love it. So I love the fact that C.J. Gardner-Johnson went back to Philly, and they actually he actually got at least a raise for him. It looks like the safety position is starting to get devalued a little bit in the NFL, but for him, he finally got a 3-year, I think it was like $33 million deal from Philly, because he's been playing on pretty much 1-year deals the last couple of years. Definitely I love what he did. Here's another move. I don't want to say one move, but I would say a team. Houston is trying to get it, dog. Yeah, Houston is trying to get it, dog. I mean, I don't on defense and offense. The trade to go get Joe Mixon, and they gave him a little money, and then they go and get Danielle Hunter, and then they didn't, bro. They are trying to get it. Yeah. Houston ain't playing around, dog.
We'll get that on the next one.
Hey, Mara, we can, because, man, you taking all my stuff. It's like, man, like I was like.
We might be, but I know what it is. I know what it is, Mara. We paying attention. Right. We seeing what's going on.
And I said it last year. Right. When you have a player coach like that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, coach.
Yeah, because we'll talk about the teams on the next one.
Right.
So, yeah, we get that one, yeah. Any other sleeper ones you got, Mara?
Nah, that's pretty much it, man.
Okay. All right, what you got, Mal?
Like you said, I got the Texan Donnell Hunter, and I got Jeff Okuda. Matata. But then, like they said, he really didn't do what, like they were saying this. I was watching. They was like, you know, this is a good one, but he's had a few issues. But when you have a coach like that, just like Tomlin, you can actually coach them to do better, especially when you feel like. You trying to, because Texans is another organization that is trying to change the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I believe this defensive coach that came for the 49ers, that's with the Texans, is asked, did he win coach of the year? Or was that Dan Campbell?
No, Stefanski.
Yes, Stefanski did.
That's the best one. Okay. Yeah. So, they doing their thing. They listen to each other. They trying to, because they mess around and be like the, you know, probably the best team in the NFL in Texas, but
easy.
You like that, don't you? But I like the Josh Jacobs move. I also put of course Russell Wilson. I had to put that on there, and I put Derrick Henry also. And then this one's a little different. But the Lions extended Campbell and the GM.
Mm-hmm.
And they only 3 years and they 6 deals. So I thought that was a big signing also. You know what I mean? You have to be kudos to that, because they changing the culture also. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you got to give them to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got.
Great points.
Yeah. So I got a few that we already talked about. Obviously, the Joe Mixon deal, him going to Houston. Obviously, that and then Dalton Schultz. I think that's another sneaky one where you start to see, like, you know, C.J. Stroud getting some weapons, some more weapons. Right. Obviously, you get Mixon and also Dalton Schultz add to Bobby Slovic's offense in Houston. Derrick Henry, that's another one where I love that move, that signing. Obviously, I think that's one where quiet is kept. If they would have had Derrick Henry in the AFC Championship game, we could be talking about Baltimore and San Francisco. To a point where I think he's going to be one of those where I think he can be a guy that they can just tire out a defense in the fourth quarter. He can almost be like your for my baseball term, like almost like a relief pitcher in the sense where, hey, you get them on third downs and also on in fourth quarter, kind of wear team defense down. Obviously, definitely with that running ability that they got in Baltimore. I think the one I really love is, you know, we really talk a lot about the Houston Texans, but as a team in this division, I think Arik Armstead, him going to Jacksonville is a huge, huge deal. And then coupled with you got Josh Allen, you know, on, you know, pretty much on the right side of that line. And then he's on a defensive, he's on the edge. I definitely think they're going to have some situations where you're going to have pressure on both sides, and that's going to be that could be a nightmare situation for you know, opponents for Jacksonville. So I definitely like those moves, like the sleeper moves, in my personal opinion. So yeah, but that Arik Armstead, that was a sneaky one. That kind of, and it was, I think that happened today, where that was kind of where it's like, okay, you know, Jacksonville been, you know. I was gonna say Michael McCorkle Jones, but we know that.
Don't do that.
No, we ain't gonna do that. But yeah, I mean, shout out to him though.
Don't you do that, Coach?
You know the little child model from Duval County. You know, he's back home, so you know. I gotta show y'all. It's a picture of him. He looked like he owned a Sears catalog. Like he's like 6 or 7 years old. It's so funny, man. Look at this dude looking like the Duke of Duval. But so we got to go into our teams that won the free agency thus far, and as we record this live on Thursday, March the 14th. I'm gonna go with you first, Mar. I know you talked about the Texans and the other teams that you.
You actually said it. The Jaguars, they not playing about their defense. You said, getting Arik Armstead. They got a couple other pieces that they got down there to solidify. And it definitely, I'm not even going to consider the trade for McCorkle, but Jacksonville, you know, quietly kept, has got in some solid pieces, you know, during this whole free agency period. So, man, don't be surprised you see Texans and Jaguars knocking at that AFC door next year. I wouldn't be surprised. Not at all. Both those teams have done very well so far in their free agency period. So I'll definitely rock with those two teams.
Yeah. What you got, Mal? What are your thoughts?
I definitely got the Steelers getting they got a linebacker. Is it Pickens? Is it a Pitts?
Oh, Queen. Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Oh, Patrick, is it Patrick Queen?
Patrick Queen. Yeah.
Queen. Okay. Yeah. Queen. Yeah. I don't know why I was getting them mixed up with somebody. Definitely the Falcons. You just said they got more from the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rondale Moore. Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. They just letting everybody go. I got the Ravens with Henry, but I got the Bucks too, man. I'm happy they paid Baker. I think Baker did really, really well, and I think he could do better once he get trust from everybody. And they paid Evans too, so I think that was really good. And no offense, the last one is the Eagles, and they still getting people. Didn't they just get White? You know, Graham, Devin, Landon Dickinson, the guard. You know, Fluff, and the Saquon Barkley. Look, I'm happy for Saquon Barkley, but I'm gonna be all the way honest with you. And I don't want to, you know, I know we do these shows, so we don't got to spare the narrative. But, man, figure out a way so you can't get hurt. Like, I don't know. I'm not a running back, and I don't know. But I'm trying to figure out, is there ways that you can run so you won't hurt yourself? You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody like Adrian Peters, they said he was so violent. You know what I mean? Like, is there a certain way that you can run that? I just don't want him to get hurt. I want him to be the best that he could be, I guess you could say. I don't know if it's making sense, but he gets hurt a lot, man.
Yeah, no, you make it perfect sense, man. And I think the only thing that's worked, I think that's only worked out for Saquon is his age,
right?
It's for him to be in like in his mid 20s still. Because if you look at, he's been in the league about 4 or 5 years, he may have only completed 2 full seasons, so it's like. It's like, bro, like, we know you're elite.
I wonder by him not playing for the Giants. For the Giants, it seemed like everything was on him. You know what I mean? Well, now this is Hurts' team. Like, everything is about Hurts. Everything else is extra. So I wonder if that's going to take some pressure where he may not be as hurt as he was when he was with the Giants.
That's a good point. And also, I think a lot of people aren't taking into account, man, playing half your schedule on that trash surface in New Jersey. That can't be good for your body, dog. Like, because you look at it every year, the Giants and the Jets are one of the two most hurt teams, and they share that trash ass stadium. Right. So, I mean, I think that needs to be investigated as well, because to me, that's malpractice. You keep putting your assets on that trash field. So, what do I know?
Who are we? You know, right.
But yeah, any other teams, or are you good off of that?
Yeah, I ended with the Eagles. I feel like the Eagles is going all in, like they did a few years ago when they was getting all these number one receivers, and you know what I mean? Like, they like, okay, you know. But they did have a meltdown in the middle of the season.
Yeah. So mine's obviously, we talked about the Texans. I know, you know, as far as we kind of talked about that, I also looked at the Steelers, but I will inject some bias. It is what it is. I think the Washington Commanders, I think they, in my personal opinion, have won, free agency at this point. I mean, you look at the pieces they have, you know, bringing in Austin Eckler, Zach. Mm-hmm.
Freeze couch
as a tight end, Badadish. That's the I'm here. You hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So we're talking about Tyler Badadish. I got it right now today. And then you look at what we're doing now. As far as I know, we losing Chase and Montez. Now I think we've replaced them with two guys. Obviously, first is Dorrance Armstrong from the Cowboys. Last year, he only had 42% of the defense snaps, had 7.5 sacks. So you look at that. Then on the other side, we bring in Cleveland Farrell. So I think you shore up those two in a sense where you get that there on the bookend. And then bring in Bobby Wagner and also Frankie Louvu. From Carolina, so you look at so you look at that where now we have an established linebacker core. You bring in a guy like a Bobby Wagner, where he will, no pun intended, he will command respect in the locker room. So you look at from that standpoint, I definitely love what they're doing now. And I always think to myself, like, damn, we really could have had this type of linebacker core. Definitely now you add him, and then include like a Jamin Davis, where you know he's gonna be another one where I think he's definitely gonna benefit from this Joe Vitt Jr.'s defense there. So then also Jeremy Chin, I think you know that is concern. And then I think if we were to get Tyron Smith, I think there'd be cherry on a Sunday on top of a Sunday. So I think I like the moves with Washington because I think what they've done, they've acquired talent. And they're on short deals. So It's not like nobody we really have signed to a long-term deal. So it's kind of one of the things where, hey, if it works out this year, maybe you come back, you know, in 2025. If not, It is what it is. And I think that's one thing where I think it definitely sets us up for the draft where, hey, we can just get the best available instead of kind of focusing on need. Because I think most of our needs have been, in a sense, been met in the sense where I think, you know, you can go into the draft, okay, like if push come to shove, if there's a guy and you know that we look at Friday night, okay, do we need to get a tight end? Okay, or we just get the best available, not based on our need. We just get whoever's the best available and we plug them in and what have you. So I love what they've done in free agency. And they have, you know, and it wasn't the sexy moves. I think obviously in the Dan Snyder era, Vinny Serrato era, those type of eras where you would see them making a splash. Like, we would be the ones that would pay, like, a Chris Jones $200 million, you know, or we pay like Sam Donald like $150 million and 120 guaranteed. That's what they would do. I mean, that's what, if we look at this team, you know, maybe 20 something years ago, this might have been the situation.
Yeah, because Dan Hale won in football. It was
never mind. Right. And just I guarantee you, we would have paid Miko Hardman like we paid Antoine Randle that year when they won the Super Bowl in Detroit. When the Steelers won that year, he just threw that pass, and it's like, how the hell he got? At that time, he was getting like $19 million, which that was what, 2006.
That's big money.
So it's like, that's big money back then. That's almost like damn near Calvin Ridley type of money.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you know, as far as how the NFL is, you know, now 18 years later, but yeah, I love the moves that Washington's done. I think it shows like the commitment of, you know, that they want to win. And I think, especially like you said, come back with what Mal was saying as far as with the Steelers, the Eagles, where you look at what they're doing. Okay, you got Saquon Barkley. You need to pause. You need to beef up that defensive line. So you get, you know, so you bring in those type of pieces. You bring in, you know, some, you know, you bring in those types of, now, you know, you bringing in a Devin White. Okay, now, you know, I'm not saying like Zach Ertz is going to be like the, you know, to equal that. But, you know, now, okay, we need to get some more tight ends, get some motion going. So, that's the thing I'm, you know, proud of all the teams. Hey, you seen other teams make moves. We need to find ways to combat their moves.
Right.
So.
Hey, you bring up some good points, Couch. I've been seeing the moves that the Commanders have been making. They're not, like you said, they're not big moves. They're, feel the needs of certain positions moves right now. And you guys got a lot of players that's going to try to, you know, turn that defense around, which was pretty much your biggest Achilles heel off of both sides of the football last year. So, hey, man, hey, don't feel bad that you picked the home squad. I actually think that y'all done pretty well in the free agency, man.
Yeah. I'm actually happy you did, because I saw them signing a lot, but I didn't look into it. And you got new ownership. Like, it's a new era. I have a question, if you don't mind. Can I get two or three teams from the both of y'all that y'all feel like y'all disappointed that they didn't do as much as they should?
Well, Cowboys is one, but that's to their own fault because they always overpay their own players and they can't make no moves in free agency. Right. That's one. Obviously, Denver's got to be one of those teams because they're just abysmal at business right now. Right. And I'm trying to think. It's a tie for me because I see both of these teams in the division, between the Chargers and the Raiders, they both, I don't think they've made Raiders spent a lot of money on Christian Wilkins. I think they overpaid for him, but as an opponent, in the division, they can overpay for whoever the hell they want. So go ahead and keep overpaying. But, business wise, it wasn't smart. In the Chargers, they're, man. They're trying to find a way to get under the cap. They're releasing guys that they've overpaid, like Mike Williams, who can't stay on the field. They got old superstars like Khalil Mack and Bosa who are restructuring just to get under the cap and keeping them on the roster. So they're not even, you know, trading them or moving them all. They restructured to stay on the roster. So your defense is getting older and slower. It's not getting younger and faster. So those are some teams that I just kind of think that I don't think they've done enough to kind of help their situations. But majority of those teams are just because they are bad at business. Don't get me wrong, Cowboys are good at business as in making money, because Jerry Jones is a businessman. But he's bad at business because he'll turn around and give he's going to extend back. He's going to do it. And it's going to be at a huge cap hit. And it's not even going to make any sense. And his cap hit is already huge. I think his cap hit is, what, $60 million or some shit like that? So it's not going to make no sense. CeeDee Lamb wants to get paid. Michael Parsons wants to get paid. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to overpay for both of them. So you're going to have three guys on your roster that's probably going to make up more than 50% of your damn salary cap on three dudes for the next 5-6 years. And it's just bad business. But he don't care. That's why they disrespect him.
That's why they disrespect Dak. Like I seen something they said. Micah was like, "Man, bring your bitch ass. Bring your bitch ass over here," because they know they most likely not gonna get the money they supposed to get because he's gonna extend him.
I look at the Cowboys. Obviously, I think them only getting a last long snapper. Getting that. So I look at that. Obviously, you know, considering the fact now I've definitely seen, because obviously a lot of those guys are migrating now to Washington. Obviously, with the Dan Quinn, hire as our head coach. I look at the Arizona Cardinals. Another one where they've done
terrible.
Little to nothing. Obviously, you know, they did acquire Desmond Ridder, and then also, but they really didn't do much. I mean, they got a few guys, but them is concerned. And then one that I'm kind of like leery about, I think the Carolina Panthers, that's another one where I know I was really positive about Deontay Johnson, but there's still some situations where this team should be making a splash, you know, especially when you have a I do it comparative to the other teams. I think it's more of looking at how other teams have done. Like you look at what Houston has done, where you've seen where they've kind of helped on both ends for CJ Stroud, where they provided him, you know, opportunities and safe nets. Like, you know, we talked about earlier with them, even from an offense standpoint, bringing like a Joe Mixon, Dalton Schultz as well for Houston. But you look at with them, Carolina hasn't done anything, considering the fact that they don't have a first-round pick. So that's another thing, too, that concerns me, because there's only two ways to improve your roster. And this, to me, free agency is a big deal, especially for this type of team when you're, like, one of the worst team in the NFL. This roster needs to be turned over. And not as much as well. So, yeah, those are the three that I'm looking at. And crazy, all in the NFC.
I was going to say it's a lot of those teams in the AFC North. Not the AFC North. It's the East. AFC East. That's Miami's, right? Miami, yeah. The Bills, the Jets. Like that old division. I'm like, okay, because I'm hearing that it's players leaving Miami now. Remember, we was all Miami, and it seemed like that window's closed. Yeah. Like everybody there, it seemed like even the Patriots. Like, what are they?
And it's funny because I'm curious how Kendall Fuller will be there. And obviously, we've had some experience with Kendall Fuller, he goes to Miami, so I think he'll get a fresh start potentially there. Him and Jalen Ramsey, aka the SAS guard. So what can happen there? New England, they're interesting because now you bring back Jacoby Brissett. And then you also bring in Antonio Gibson. So it's kind of one of those where, and obviously I think they'll be drafting third. So, whoever's going to be, you'd assume it's probably going to be a Drake May situation in New England. Because I think, unless draft gets a little crazy.
You don't think they should have drafted a quarterback? You think they okay with Jacoby?
Oh, no, they're going to draft a quarterback. Yeah, they're going to either – I think it's either – this is how I think it'll end up happening. I know this is going to sound crazy. So I think Washington is going to get Caleb Williams. I think he's going to fall to two. I think he's going to fall to two because now, like, we talked about it earlier as far as this whole Justin Fields thing. Like, where he going to go? I mean, unfortunately, he the child of the daycare at 6:05. The daycare closed at 6 o'clock. Where he going to go? He got to go. Nah, I mean, we're going to probably get a quarterback.
I know.
But you think about it, because because you have to pay Justin Fields Kirk Cousins kind of money next year if he's successful.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah, so – and that's, I think, why a lot of people might be a little leery on that because you would assume if you were going to trade for him, you're gonna pick up his option. You have to pick up his option.
Yep.
And gonna have to pay him some money. So I think that's why a lot of it too, where it sucks for him, because I can get that same value. Like, you can't really convince like Washington, New England, because they're 2 and 3, so they're gonna get a quarterback of something. Even may, you know, it's either gonna be between maybe Jaden Daniels or Lord, you're gonna call him Mitchell Trubisky, Drake May. So.
He going to the Giants. That's what Phil's going. Watch. That's what I tell you.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because then they got Drew Lock. So it's kind of like, and that's one thing too, where it's so crazy, like how.
And just pay themselves. And just pay.
Right. Them. And that's where they can make that mistake again. And it's like, if they do that.
Wasn't an incentive about the 2 years or something like that with Daniel Jones?
I'm not sure, but if they do that, RIP to the Giants. They could be a salary cap hell. I would love it.
Don't sit up here in front like you wouldn't love it. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, I would love it. Yes, of course. That's salary cap hell. Even though they got Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau, but Lord, that defense gonna be a problem, but that offense. You ain't got to worry about nothing. You can go to bed on the Saturday night and don't even have to worry about that offense, especially now without Saquon.
That's the problem. So, damn, they got to pay him. So wherever he go, he got to get paid, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. More than likely, unless you.
At least within the next 2 years, you're going to have to pay Justin.
Because you'll have to pick up his option, and then you can franchise him in 2025.
Now, you don't franchise quarterbacks no more. That's
cap. Well, that's true. You don't do that no more, but yeah.
That's business suicide. You can't.
That's true. You
can't tag these quarterbacks, man.
Says the guy who franchised the quarterback twice.
Right. Right. He was the example.
We started that.
But what's the name? I know somebody was saying that when they did the contract with Daniel, that it was incentive after like 2 or 3 years, they could do something to the contract if he don't meet the requirements.
Yeah, they could tear it up.
They probably tear it up. Yeah.
Well, they better get ready to tear it up because
even with the Raiders, that's where it's like, because a part of me still think they still like Aiden O'Connell. So it's like, and you're thinking that Gardner Minshew going to be the backup there. So it's like, but, you know, obviously that's a Josh McDaniels guy in a sense. So what can, you know, and I know the Raiders going to try to pony up to get Jaden Daniels. So it's kind of, because obviously the relationship between him and AP. So
yeah.
That's why, I think these next, we got about 5 weeks before the draft? What's up, almost 6 weeks? Something it's going to be really intriguing, as far as who's going to move up, who's going to pony up to get to Chicago and get their guy, because I don't know.
I think there's a few quarterbacks that's not going to be there. I think people are going to start looking at Kyle Murray. People are going to start going to Miami and look at that quarterback. It's a couple quarterbacks people are going to start saying, okay, we might be time for us to move on.
Yeah, and that's crazy about this draft class, because they even saying JJ McCarthy is gonna be a top five pick, which is is unreal.
That's wild to me.
I was like, I understand what people are saying. Like, it's kind of one thing. It's like, no, I understand no, that. No, 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 no. I'm gonna lose to the point, though. It's like I only get this because I'm hearing what people are saying, but what I have seen of JJ McCarthy does not scream first round draft pick. Mm-hmm. Like, unless he has a 85 Bears S type of defense like he had in Michigan. Because he did not carry that team offensively. And I there's been rumblings. So I'm going to hear the rumblings, but my eyes tell me, for what I've seen.
Of course.
Is no. Like, if I'm in a situation like I think who picks fourth, like if I'm in that 5 to 8 range, like where the Giants at, I'm like, trade me out, get me out of here. I'm like, get me out of here, like, cause for him to even be slotted like that, because there was even rumblings before the combine was like, well, okay, he might be a first round pick, but now. People saying he's bought, like after the Senior Bowl, people were saying like, oh, he might crack into the top 15, and then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, he might get drafted in like, you know, on the top 5 picks. I'm like, huh? But
not free. It is wow.
I can say I hear these things and I hear it from people who are way above my pay grade, but. My eye test is like, I don't see it.
I figure.
If you like that. But you know, that ain't how it is with the draft. You know, it's always these years. Somebody comes out and just becomes this all world type of person. You know, all world. They can't miss prospect. But. Yeah, so that'll be an interesting storyline for the next few weeks, and who's gonna kind of pony up and with Chicago, and they could get the best deal, and where Justin Fields gonna land. I think, like you said, that's gonna be the major thing, because now, like I said, he ain't got no home. he the kid at the daycare past 6.
Tell him to call Bill Belichick. Say, hey man, what you trying to do? Why don't we meet up somewhere, man? I know it's like a nice little coffee shop over here. Maybe we could build something.
That's wild.
Boy, XFL. Nah,
you know the new Madden coming out. Should you try to play?
Because I don't even think if there's an even situation, like even from a backup perspective, where he can go.
Yeah, but he's not
even in my mind. That's me hearing Lewis Riddick talking, like, we know, as far as him being back, but I was like, no, he's capable of being a starting quarterback in this league. Like, he has shown that. Like, trust me, I've been there, done that, and watched it on a Thursday night. The kid can play.
They can play. I'm shocked.
Unfortunately.
Like, yeah. I'm like sitting here to him. One of the main things that he can outdo my man in Carolina is because he's tall.
Yeah, he's athletic.
Bryce Young is short, and that's part of his issue.
Yeah,
they were saying like, and I'm
as far as it just sounds crazy because like. People compare him to a backup, but then you got a guy like J.J. McCarthy who was pedestrian at the quarterback position last year in college.
Mm-hmm.
It could be potentially somebody in the face of that franchise.
Yeah.
That's why I this time of year, just give me, yeah. But yeah, we're going to round it out too. So yeah, we'll put a bow on tonight's Couch Coach Live. We'll go around the horn. Final thoughts and social media. So I'm going to go with you first, Mark. What you got?
Yeah, man. Final thoughts, man. I'm with you, Couch, man. Let's see what happens with Justin, man. Them seats is drying up from the quarterback position. So we'll see what's up. But, hey, man, I always appreciate you fellas having me on. Y'all know where to find me, man. Going over to my Twitter account, KCYCarbMar. That's where I post all my stuff that I got going on. But primarily find me on IOW Sports Network, man. Flapping my gums somewhere about some kind of sports anywhere, man. But hey, man, appreciate y'all fellas, man.
So we'll catch you around, especially during the draft. We'll have you on at some point. We got some draft stuff coming up. So yeah, for sure.
No doubt.
All right. Yeah. Matt, what you got?
Oh, man, great show. Happy to be back. It's been a long time. I was kind of out here, kind of lost and confused. but Deshaun Morgan, Facebook, DT Morgan 78, Instagram. Hey man, We went and shopped at the Dollar Tree. We got Russell Wilson.
Why not?
We good.
Yeah, he got the best deal of anybody at this point. Like,
I went to Dollar Tree, said, y'all got Russell Wilson in his job.
Exactly. Yep. For sure.
Right.
Yep. See, put him in a basket. Yep.
That's not even funny, man, because I go in Dollar Tree. I'll be like, no, y'all don't got the Jones soda in this joint. Yo, so let me start. I don't even know why I'm faking.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Pretty much social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Couch Coach Live, and also the website, couchcoachlive.com. And, yeah, so that's it, man. So we'll be back at our regular scheduled time on Wednesday next week. And, yeah, man, this has been this week's Couch Coach Live, man. We'll catch you guys next week. We out.
Welcome.